You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest, the Archduchess of the AM airwaves. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the second hour, or if you're just joining us in some of our other stations, the first hour of the Grace Curley Show. We are talking about the media really outdoing themselves yesterday and into today. And as we're talking about it, Jared and I keep finding more and more examples. One that I almost forgot was Chris Wallace yesterday, who said it was the best inauguration speech he'd ever heard. And coming from Chuck Wallace, I mean, Chris Wallace, that is really saying something, because we all know that he's not partisan. He's very down the middle, and he calls things as he sees it. So that must mean something, that it was actually really good. Do you have that cut?
We must end this uncivil war, and the way we can do it is if we show each other a little tolerance and humility. Martha, I thought it was a great speech. I've been listening to these inaugural addresses since 1961, John F. Kennedy, Ask Not. I thought this was the best inaugural address I ever heard.
Did you, Chris? He's so full of it. I mean, and you know what? Greg Gutfeld actually called him out on Fox, which I was pumped about, because there's this thing at Fox where they don't call each other out. And sometimes I think that actually adds a lot to a network if a few people disagree and they can be honest about it. But as far as I can tell, Greg was the only one so far who said, you know, Chris Wallace needs to come back down to earth. Another tweet I saw from Edward Isaac Dovier, who writes for The Atlantic. Big Trump fans over at The Atlantic. He wrote, "One of the simple, enduring images of the day. Kamala Harris's hair blowing in the wind as she took the oath. No one with longer hair, in other words, a woman, has ever taken the oath of office outside at the Capitol before, because she's the first woman to ever do it." Where do they think our reading comprehension... Her hair blowing in the wind.
If you look inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are.
It's amazing to me that he had to explain almost three times in one tweet to us that she's the first woman to ever do this. We're aware. It's been on every magazine and every TV station for the last 6 months.
And I do not want to sound like a misogynist here.
Uh-oh, that's never the best way to start out.
Has the glass ceiling finally been shattered?
Well, actually, I don't know if you saw this, Jared, but the Biden administration is putting into effect something along the lines, and I'll get us the exact story here, where schools that are federally funded, that take any sort of federal funds, are going to have to allow males to partake in female sports as long as they identify as females. So in a lot of ways, they're adding another glass ceiling to the females by saying, not only do you have to beat your fellow females at this sport, but you also have to beat biological males. So they're a big fan of the glass ceiling, not necessarily shattering it, but installing new layers.
Ah, I get it. So I'm waiting for the first story about how Joe Biden has the first female press secretary. That's got to be coming soon. Making history.
He's making history everywhere he goes. And it brings me to my next point, which is about a poll that I ran on my own Twitter. If you want to vote in the poll for the show, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com. If you want to vote in my Twitter poll, you can go to @G_Curley. I asked the people, and I think this is an important question, what is your favorite Journalism Joe story thus far? And here are your options. Major's inauguration. If you don't know who Major is, shame on you. He is the first dog at the White House, and he's a German Shepherd, and he's most well known for being the dog who Joe Biden tried to grab his tail when he was post shower and probably slippery. He tried to grab the dog's tail and then he fell on a rug. That's, I'm just trying to run through some of his, you know, more notable moments. Major's inauguration, Joe's love for ice cream. So Jenny's ice cream created an ice cream for Joe, chocolate chip. I'm not going to lie, it sounds delicious. And based off how much Jenny's ice cream costs, I'm sure it's divine. And it has bits of waffle cone in it. I'm a sucker for waffle cone. Joe and Jill's Peloton drama, or Joe and Kamala's inauguration playlist. Now, Jared, I think you'll be surprised at what's taking the lead.
I'm going to say Peloton is in the lead.
Peloton is in the lead, and I was very surprised by this because it's a fairly new story, and that made me think, you know what, maybe people want to hear this if it's their favorite Joe journalism moment thus far. Joe Biden's Peloton bike may pose cybersecurity risk, experts warn. Joe Biden's fitness regimen may potentially cause an unexpected headache for security services charged with keeping the new president safe in the White House, with his Peloton exercise bike viewed by some as a potential cybersecurity risk. They also go on to talk about how every morning him and Jill fight over who's going to get to go on the Peloton first.
Oh, they're just like us.
Excuse me. I do not have a Peloton. I wish. They're pricey. I think that they really put a lot of stock in the fact that Joe Biden is physically fit, that he can ride a bike. Remember, that was a big deal at one point. He knows how to ride a bike. He can ride a bike. He can do push-ups. He runs a lot. Like, he ran over to Al Roker yesterday to give him a fist bump. He likes to run to show people that physically he's all there. Mentally, we don't know, but physically he likes to show that he can do it, which is fine. But I just think this whole idea of like, oh, the Peloton, the stories are getting ridiculous.
Well, the most incredible thing about all of these stories is they act like we don't have 47 years of game film on this guy.
Right.
They act like he's Beto or Pete Buttigieg or Stacey Abrams. He's just, oh, this young guy that just came out of nowhere, this Maverick, no, we have watched him for 47 years. We know he's not this guy.
Yeah.
We know he is not this person. Like, just stop.
They're never going to stop, Jared. They are never going to stop. And actually, what was really telling was yesterday was the first press conference with the press secretary, Jen Psaki. And one of the hard-hitting questions that Jen received was cut five.
A lighter note, will he keep Donald Trump's Air Force One color scheme change?
This is such a good question. I have not had the opportunity to dig into that today, given the number of executive actions, orders, the inauguration, a few things happening. I will venture to get you an answer on that, and maybe we can talk about it in here tomorrow.
You are so brave.
Will you change the color scheme? They were asking Kelly McEnany, like, how many people have you killed in the past 24 hours? And then Joe Biden's people get in. What do you think of the color scheme of the airplane? It's absolutely absurd. And speaking of coincidences, the Mailer manager brought this to my attention today. There's a lot of stories out that broke yesterday that coronavirus cases in the U.S. are declining.
What?
Timing, my friends, is everything. It truly is. You couldn't ask for better timing than Joe Biden. That's right. The cases are declining as Joe Biden enters the Oval Office. You will notice that he did change up a lot of the things at the Oval Office. Jared noticed the bust.
Yes, there's a bust of Cesar Chavez in the office.
He also switched out the portrait of Andrew Jackson and put in Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
There's a lot of little things that are going to happen like that are going to be made into massive stories because of the state of the American media.
I'm just waiting to hear what he does with the drapes, because we know that gold that Donald Trump used was so gauche that it has to go.
And the whole thing about Trump not being able to get a presidential library is hilarious to me, because he'll just build his own. and make it even crazier.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 48 golf courses and hotels all over the world makes up for not having a presidential library.
One would think. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. I'm holding it up right here. The reviews are amazing, as this is one product that actually works. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors, so they're gone for good. This is really amazing because you get this huge gallon of the Genesis 950. You only have to add in a little bit to this spray bottle, and then you add in a little bit of water to it, and it lasts you so much longer because it's so strong and potent. It can be used in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for you, for your family, for your pets. Genesis 950 is made in America, which I know we're all trying to support American businesses right now, and we're all trying to stay off Amazon. This is a really good way to start. If you are tired of pet cleaners that don't work, it's time to buy Genesis 950. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner, but Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. It's great for bathrooms, for kitchens, for floors, upholstery, and grease stains. Consider Genesis 950 before purchasing new carpets. Genesis 950 has great customer service. Order 1 gallon direct at genesis950.com to receive a free spray bottle, which is what I'm holding up now, free shipping, and a $10 coupon using code GRACE. That's genesis950.com. Coupon only available for 1 gallon purchase. Genesis 950, much cheaper than replacing your carpets. I have to say, I was very frustrated at the beginning of today's show because of all this hypocrisy. It really does feel good to talk about it and to laugh about it a little bit. And Howie said it to me today. I said, Howie, I'm so frustrated. I want to pull my hair out. And he said, Grace, you got to enjoy it a little bit. Like, it's annoying and it's absurd, but you have to call out the hypocrisy. It will make you feel better. And it feels kind of cathartic. And so I want to open that up to everybody else. We're going to have Jerry Callahan at 1:30, but we do have a segment after this where we'll take some calls. 844-500-4242. Do you want to talk about the media? Do you want to talk about the sudden coincidences that are happening, including COVID cases dropping, including Amazon deciding that they're going to help with the vaccination rollout? They waited 5 weeks. And then yesterday they sent, you know, the White House a letter. It's amazing. Jeff Bezos seems like a real stand-up guy. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley.
Wearing a tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Who are you?
The spirit of Cesar Chavez.
Why do you look like Cesar Romero?
Because you don't know what Cesar Chavez looks like.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, everybody. Before we do the poll question, Pfizer released positive vaccine updates immediately after the election. Amazon stays silent for a month on distribution until Trump leaves office. Is this some sort of sick joke? That's from Logan Hall. And that was because Amazon News tweeted out, letter to POTUS, Amazon stands ready to assist you in reaching your goal of vaccinating 100 million Americans in the first 100 days of your administration. What it should say is, Amazon stands ready to assist you, Joe Biden, because we hated Donald Trump, but now that you're president, we will help you and help Americans get vaccinated.
So how much blood does Amazon have on its hands now for withholding vaccine preparations?
That's a good question.
Because Donald Trump has the blood of over, what, 500,000 people now, or whatever it is? I think it's 400-something, actually. But how much does Amazon have?
And then, Jared, to your point, Bloomberg posted this story yesterday at 1:30 p.m., COVID death rate in U.S. expected to dip further in next month. Weekly coronavirus deaths in the U.S. are forecast to dip in about a month, a refreshing change in the wake of months of increased fatalities. There's going to be a lot of refreshing changes now that the media's preferred candidate is in the White House with Major and his cat and Dr. Jill. It's all a big happy family. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 30 heater. Friday is the last day to get a free thunderstorm when you order the Gen 30 heater. I really don't think they do these kind of deals a lot there because a lot of people want each of these, but they're being very generous, and they're saying that if you get a Gen 30 heater, they will also give you a free thunderstorm. And this is close to $100 in savings. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word THUNDER. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who had the most cringeworthy Biden inaugural reaction? David Brooks, David Chaslain, John Heilman, or Lauren Wolf?
Well, I know that Lauren Wolf realized her reaction was cringeworthy because she deleted, I think, either her tweet or her full Twitter. So that gives me the idea that she at least has some self-awareness. But no one beats David Brooks. I mean, when you cry, you really step things up a notch. The tears bring things to a new level.
David Brooks in the lead at 63%.
Good for him. Good for him. Paul, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Grace. How you doing today?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, you know, I think these next 4 years are going to be Comedy Central for us conservatives. You know, Joe Biden, he's a laugh a minute, man. I mean, you know, it stinks that Donald Trump didn't become president again, but I don't think it's the last we see of him or a protege of his. And the Democrats, you know, they're good at slandering people, but running the show, they've never been good. They've always been a joke.
No, and Paul, you have a really good point.
They're going to continue to be a joke.
Because, and normally I would agree with you, and I do agree with you to a certain extent. I think the silver linings of this, and guys, I am my father's daughter. I'm all about finding silver linings. I'm always going to be glass half full. There's a lot of silver linings to be had in this. The Dems finally have power. They will probably mess it up. That is something they're very good at, as Paul pointed out. Another upside of this is, and actually one of my siblings pointed this out to me yesterday, now that the focus is off Trump, it really does shine a light on the differences within the Democratic Party. And there are huge, huge differences between someone like AOC and someone like Nancy Pelosi. And those are only going to become more apparent. The infighting is going to get worse. Now, where I disagree with you a little bit is about the gaffe machine. Because I read a really good piece today. It was in the Spectator US, which, by the way, you can find my stuff there now, too. And the guy said, I'll find the actual article, but he said that they're keeping Joe Biden on such a tight leash now that those gaffes that we've come to love, Jobs, J-O-B-S, things like that, you know, taking the shotgun and firing two blasts, those aren't as frequent anymore because he is on a tight, tight schedule and he's on a tight regimen. They do not let him off that teleprompter. He does not, you know, take questions willy-nilly. He takes out his sheet of paper and he reads off the questions. There are some gaffes that are going to come through either way. I'll give you an example. He signed a mask mandate requiring everyone who is on federal land to have to wear a mask. He later, with his grandkids, went to the Lincoln Memorial, which is on federal land, not wearing a mask. And I saw that his grandkids and his daughter, they were all posing together. They were not wearing masks either. So there will be those things. But in general, I just don't think we're going to see that malarkey Joe as much as you think. I think he did his job for them. He got them in, and now they're really going to pull him back. But I like your point, Paul. I do appreciate it. 844-500-4242. We're going to have Jerry Callahan on next. I'm going to ask him a lot of questions about this stuff. And I had mentioned in the first hour that the fashion part of it drives me crazy. And Molly Hemingway noticed it as well. She's a writer for The Federalist. She retweeted a column from Refinery 29. They said, Dr. Biden is bringing American fashion back into the White House, starting with this subtle, sparkly coat. And she said, our corporate media are so sick and sad and hateful that they will assert that the departure of an actual fashion supermodel from the White House means the arrival with the totally normally attired Jill Biden of fashion to the White House. Kind of puts your mind in a pretzel. It really does. And this is what we can expect to see. I do think, though, to end with Paul's idea, there's a lot of good things that are going to happen. Hopefully in 2022, people get out and vote. I'm going to talk to Holly Robichaud in the 2 o'clock hour about how we can save our elections and their integrity. There's actually a lot of things we can do, probably would surprise people. And I think we just got to keep focused. And I saw something today that really struck me because let me tell you, if I didn't do this for a job, and I'm so grateful to do this for a job, I think it's the most fun. But if I was just doing a regular, you know, 9 to 5, I would not turn on the news. I would not turn on my Twitter. It drives you absolutely crazy. But I'm going to read you a quote from someone, Allie Beth Stuckey. She said, "My encouragement to you is to refuse to not pay attention, refuse apathy and ignorance. Watch the policies, watch the actions, especially in the coming days. It's easy to tune out, but you got to tune in." We'll be back with Jerry Callahan. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We got through Inauguration Day. We didn't need safe spaces. Most of us kept it together, except for maybe David Brooks. He got a little bit teary-eyed, but he was happy. So, because of that, a lot of us have been following some of the mush coming from the mainstream media, some of the puff pieces, and really the slobbering. It's just getting embarrassing. I saw some liberals even saying yesterday on Twitter, "Guys, we gotta at least pretend here that we're not totally on board." Al Roker was like, "I got a fist pump from Joe Biden." It was really pathetic. And someone who follows this as much as I do, and I'm pretty sure it drives him just as crazy, is Jerry Callahan. Thank you very much for being with us, Jerry.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. You can follow Jerry on Twitter at Jerry Callahan. He also has the Callahan podcast. Make sure you check that out wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, all that stuff. Jerry, do you have a moment from either yesterday or today that you think is the most absurd take on this inauguration?
That's a good question. I would say two things. I would say watching the first press conference from the press secretary. How do you say her last name?
I think it's Psaki.
Psaki. Jen Psaki. And I couldn't believe it. I knew they were going to throw the top balls. I knew they were going to be kissing her. But a serious question from an alleged journalist was, does Joe Biden have any problem changing the color pattern in Air Force One? Now, that's something you and I could not make up. That's even sillier than what we envisioned from these people.
And I like how she prefaced it with, "on a lighter note." because they said that a lot when Trump was president. On a lighter note, Kaylee.
I've never even heard of someone questioning or caring about the color pattern of Air Force One. So that was new to me. But I also laughed out loud at the tweet that said Jill Biden is bringing high fashion back to the White House.
Yeah.
The woman who just left was a supermodel and a fashion designer, and they think Dr. Jill is bringing fashion back to the White House. And that's on top of Kamala's Chuck Taylors, which everybody is just thrilled about. So it is a long list. I was just looking at some new ones today, some new tweets. The guy from Atlantic Magazine, a staff writer who was enthralled by Kamala Harris's hair blowing in the wind.
You know what that means, right? Because she has longer hair. In other words, she's a woman, and she's the first woman to ever do that.
Well, I pointed out, I responded to the guy, I said, Trump's hair blew in the wind all the time. That didn't do anything for you?
I know, it's insane. Now, another thing I have to ask you, Jerry, because I know you're a conservative, and like me, you probably had to, and wanted to, condemn what happened at the Capitol time and time and time again. I did it several hundred times, and I'll keep doing it because it's consistently wrong no matter when it happens. But I'm just wondering, do you think any of these liberal politicians are going to have to condemn what's happening right now in Portland?
Oh, no, of course not. They'll ignore it. I mean, it was amazing yesterday watching Biden give this speech. And by the way, am I allowed to include Chris Wallace on that list? Because he absolutely makes me nauseous. I don't remember the last time I hated a media person as much as I hate Chris Wallace. Because I watched the speech. I left it on Fox. I was wondering what that Biden stooge would say. And he comes on and says, the best inaugural speech he's ever heard.
Which, yeah.
Even if it were really good, Gray should say that's absurd. I mean, he just doesn't, you know, Biden, even on his best day, can't compare to Reagan or Kennedy or even Obama or Clinton. He's just a lousy speaker. And to say it's the best you've ever heard, I mean, you really expose yourself as a complete fraud and a complete sycophant. But what was the question again?
Do you think anyone's going to have to condemn the Antifa riots? I know they won't have to, but I'm even surprised that there's barely any coverage of it. And it's funny because now we're in Joe Biden's America, aren't we?
I was watching Biden's speech, and he mentions, of course, the new boogeyman, the made-up threat of domestic terrorists, of white supremacists, of these great threats at home, and no mention of Antifa. Now, you said it. I've said it. I've condemned the Capitol Hill riot 1,000 times. It was one day, 8 hours. It was an embarrassment. It was a disgrace. It was despicable. I condemned that the way I condemned all violent riots. The other side, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, rioted for literally 6 straight months, literally 100-plus days of trying to burn down a federal courthouse in Portland. And Joe Biden didn't think that was worth mentioning. He didn't mention Antifa. He didn't mention Black Lives Matter, and he didn't mention China. But he did mention this made-up threat, which, by the way, is the whole reason they had 26,000 National Guardsmen, fencing, and you know, machine guns and everything else, was to advance the theory, the made-up theory, that they were all under siege from some invisible white supremacist threat inside our own borders.
It was kind of
the theme of the inauguration. Watch out, the white supremacists are lurking out there and they're coming to get us. That's why we have an army surrounding us and no people here.
And I noticed a shift because there's so many things that are going to come back now that Joe Biden's president. I was mentioning earlier, people are going to start, you know, proudly putting out their American flags again, people who haven't, you know, looked at an American flag in 4 years. And there's going to be a lot less grim milestones, things of that nature. But something else I noticed, all those celebrities that were at the inauguration, they were taking pictures with the National Guard and saying, these are the real heroes. These are the real, they're heroes now. But if this were a month ago, they would be, you know, trying to defund everyone who keeps them safe.
Just think of what made a comeback on day one. What made a comeback was walls, fences, guns, the military, the police. They all made a big comeback on day one. Although I have to say, after noon, there were 2,700 COVID deaths yesterday, which means Joe Biden killed 2,700 people on his first day, and they would all be alive today if not for Joe Biden.
Yeah, but I was reading
those are the rules, Grace.
I was reading a story today, Jerry, that there's been an unexpected decline in COVID cases, and it's going to continue. And also the Amazon, I don't know what happened. I don't know if the letter got lost in the mail and it just arrived, but they're actually going to help with the rollout. They sent Joe Biden a letter and said, we want to help with the vaccine rollout. Timing is everything.
Yeah. They didn't want to help for the last 2 months, but they really want to help now. It is kind of nauseating. And I was expecting it. Here's what would be really scary, Grace. Can you imagine if they had a good candidate? Like a lucid candidate, they have a 78-year-old, kind of frail, confused old man, and they're pretending like he's ushering in a new dawn, a new day.
Like he's Winston Churchill.
I mean, like he's, you know, JFK, and he's young and vibrant and new energy. And you're saying, hold on, we know he's not like that. We know he's not even long for the job, and we know the guy, the girl, the woman who is going to ascend to the throne is the most unappealing, unlikable candidate you people have. I mean, she didn't even make it to the primaries. She bowed out before she got to Iowa and New Hampshire. I was looking that up yesterday. Biden finished fifth in New Hampshire. He finished behind Liz Warren. He finished fourth in Iowa. And Kamala Harris didn't even make it to either of those states because she was so unpopular. The polling was so bad, she pulled out in December of 2019.
Well, what's wild is that Joe Biden got 80 million votes. And I'm telling you, Jerry, that inauguration yesterday, that charismatic, compelling bit of TV is going to be the most viewed thing ever in our history. More than Barack Obama's inauguration, way more than Trump's. It's going to break all records.
He didn't get 80 million. I'm sorry. Here's how it works, Chris. Trump got 74 million. 74 million people voted for Trump and 80 million people voted against Trump. Biden was not even a factor. He wasn't even relevant here. It's like, they're just people that hated Trump and wanted to get rid of Trump, and they won. You know, they won.
Exactly.
And I was there 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I went to the Trump inauguration, And there was Antifa scum around, everywhere, running around, breaking windows, throwing stuff. I saw that famous burning limo in front of the Trump Hotel. We went to the Trump Hotel and watched the riots. It was, you know, it was entertaining. It was no, and you know, didn't see 26,000 troops, but certainly saw violent mobs running everywhere. And I don't remember anyone making a big deal out of it. It was just, you know, that was what it was like on Inauguration Day.
Exactly. Now, Jerry, there's a lot of things that Joe Biden has planned for us, whether it's the minimum wage to $15, immigration. He's talking a lot about amnesty. And there's also there's just a lot of changes that he's making right away. He's going to stop building the wall. And obviously the Keystone Pipeline, he's going to rescind that permit. Any of those things I just mentioned, or if you have one that's really sticking out to you, what scares you the most?
Oh, that's a good question. And so, I mean, what scares me the most is that big tech gets a free rein. Obviously, they were out of control, you know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and Trump and you know, the Republican Senate could do nothing or did nothing to stop them. And now they just must be saying, we won, we're in control now. They can shut down anybody, you, me. Obviously, they could shut down the president. There's nothing stopping them. They just got elected. I mean, people voted for Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg and Google. And it's a scary thing that you know what I know, that there are people in the media who have no problem with that. People in the media, yeah, calling for big tech and comedians, you know, these alleged edgy comedians, Chelsea Handler and Sacha Baron Cohen, pleading with big tech to suppress more people's voices, to crush out more dissent. That's what scares me. I mean, the thing that baffles me most would probably be the Keystone Pipeline. I was just reading 42,000 people will be out of work. All good-paying, blue-collar jobs, just put out of work as a favor to crazy, really crazy environmental lunatics. It'll make the price of gas go up. It hurts the relationship with Canada. It helps Russia. It helps Iran. It's just insane. And it seemed like one of those things he might, you know, soften or change his mind on, but he didn't. He just swipe of a pen and 42,000 people are out of work.
Right. And Pete Buttigieg says, well, it's going to create net jobs, whatever that means. And Ted Cruz said to him, so that means it's going to create jobs for other people, not the people who are losing the jobs. It's like you said, Jerry, it's just absolutely out of control. And I do agree with you there. I think that yesterday was embarrassing for the media. But another thing I want to say, and I think you probably see this a lot too, you ever get frightened? I mean, I expect stuff from Brian Stelter and, you know, all these people on Twitter. And I follow people that tend to call out these people on their hypocrisy, whether it's Molly Hemingway or you, Jerry, or other people like that. But what scares me the most is when I'll click on something like an absurdly laughable tweet, like about Dr. Jill and Kamala's fashion, how they're bringing fashion back into the White House, and the comments beneath it of real people on their phones buying into this, who are, whatever the tweet is, if it's Brian Stelter, oh, Orange Man, I'm so glad he's gone. I'm rejoicing in the street. Me and my dog are going for a walk and we're crying from happiness. It frightens me. I'm like, people are buying into this and they're writing these responses back that I can't wrap my mind around.
Yeah, I get quite a bit of that. I mean, I made one little wisecrack about the poet, you know, and the 22-year-old Harvard grad. And I confess, I don't like poetry. I make fun of the poet every 4 years. It doesn't matter. I don't get poetry. It doesn't really do much for me. And immediately we would say, oh, you, everything, you name it, racist, bigot, sexist, you know, you hater. And I'm going, what? It was a poem. I don't like poetry. But you can't do that. There's not really room for dissent. And you see some of the things people get banned for, people get suspended for. It's nothing. It's just this frightening war on the opposition, on dissent. And, I mean, it's just un-American. I'll say it again. I mean, if you're rooting for Facebook and you're rooting for Google and Twitter, and you're rooting against Parler, or you're rooting against Trump or Michelle Malkin, then you're un-American. That's just I don't care what you feel politically. If you're rooting against free speech, you're un-American.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm talking to Jerry Callahan. Jerry, where can everyone find your podcast and find you on Twitter for as long as you're on there for?
They can.
hurry up. I'm at Jared Callahan, and the Callahan podcast you can find anywhere on Apple. Just look for me or look for Callahan podcast. Just did a good one today with some Tom Brady talk, but also some.
Oh my gosh! Jerry, my brothers are going to kill me. They specifically said they want to know: are you rooting for Tom this weekend?
Yes, I'm rooting for Tom. I want a Bills Bucks Super Bowl, and I do like the way Tom just ruins the day for so many people.
Yeah,
If he wins Sunday, he's going to his 10th Super Bowl. That's 10 Super Bowls in 20 years. It's just been a remarkable streak. And I always think of the people, you know, who hate him. There's so many in the media. Hell, lots of people hate him, Grace, because he had a Trump hat in his locker.
Yeah.
And you know what kind of people they are. So if he's going to ruin their day, that will make me happy. So, yes, I'm rooting for Tom, and I'm rooting for the Bills, too.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Jerry. And I actually have, I'll email you a little picture here I have of the Boston Globe top 10 headlines today. I think it will make you laugh. There's a lot of stuff about world hopes for renewed cooperation with U.S. under Biden. And on Inauguration Day, the hill we climbed and the dreams we can no longer defer. Fist bumps, cute kids, big birds.
What wasn't the big headline, democracy wins or democracy prevails?
Yes, that was a Washington Post, I think.
Tell me this. When did democracy not win? In this country in the last 240 years, when did democracy not win? When was there ever a threat to democracy? Because some moron with a Viking hat went into the Senate, or they let him into the Senate. That was a threat to democracy? I mean, it's just so absurd. It's one big lie.
It's one big lie.
To quote Goebbels, as Biden said, to quote Goebbels, it's all a big lie.
Thank you so much, Jerry, for joining us. We will be back, guys, and don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls. We have a lot more to get to before the show ends. I'm Grace Curley, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Listen up, everyone. This is the best deal you're going to be offered all week. Have you been thinking about buying one of the Eden Pure Gen 30 space heaters or the Thunderstorm air purifier? Well, until Friday, you don't have to buy one or the other. You can get both. With code word THUNDER, you will get a free Thunderstorm when you purchase the Gen 30 space heater. Home heating bills are about to start skyrocketing, potentially costing you hundreds of dollars a month. Eden Pure Gen 30 heater will save you up to 50% on your heating bills.
And Grace, with the price of oil going up now that the Keystone pipeline has been taken away, oil is going to skyrocket. So even if you have an oil burner, the Gen 30 heater is a great way to supplement so you don't have to burn as much oil.
I have an oil burner and it's expensive to refill it.
Very expensive.
The Eden Pure Gen 30 will warm you to the core. It's even been proven to keep you warmer than your furnace and save you money on your heating bills. Every month, the Gen 30 heater doesn't dry out the air in the room. This helps prevent dry skin. If you have pets or young kids, don't worry. It will not catch fire. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code THUNDER. It will save you nearly $100 and shipping is free. Buy the Eden Pure Gen 30 and with code word THUNDER, you get a free Thunderstorm air purifier. That's EdenPure.com. You'll never be cold again and you'll never smell that odor again. EdenPure.com, code word THUNDER. I really do love having a space heater because it keeps you warm without having to heat up the whole house, which Jared mentioned is just so damn pricey. Mark, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Grace. There was a lot of things that your person that was on last was talking about, and I'll just try to be as quick as I can. I know that's a wrong phrase to use, but here I go. First of all, only 0.04% of the number of people that were there supporting the Constitution were bad actors. That's a tiny, tiny percent. It's not even 1%. It's not even 0.5%. It's a lot less. And second, as you guys were talking about the jobs being lost,
right.
I haven't heard any jobs being created yet. So we're right now, you know, he said 42,000. I heard 10,000 from the overall company that was involved in this. But more importantly, the people who are out of jobs are Native Americans.
Well, and Mark brings up a really good point, which is something I say all the time about these lockdowns. Government officials are great at canning ideas and canceling things and shutting things down. Creating things is a different story. Thank you for the call, Mark. Guys, we have Holly Robichaud coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.